First Corinthians chapter 2, verse, I'll read from verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And our text is really the Lord of glory. One of the, what we've been calling the beautiful names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is this an important name? Well, we see here in our first chapters of Corinthians that the gospel was believed and Jesus known and loved, but not by everybody, but by certain people. This wisdom of God has been revealed. To whom it's been revealed? People who've been chosen by God. They are mainly people who in themselves are not the clever, wise, big, strong, powerful people, but rather what are called the foolish, the weak, and the people that are not even base things of the world, the despised, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. But rather than the great and mighty, there are some great and mighty people who are Christians, but not most of them are not. The crucial point here in this verse is that if the other people, such as the princes, the rulers, and others, had known the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, if they'd have known it, they would have been completely different. It says here, if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, obviously referring to here. They wouldn't have, if they'd have known who he was, they wouldn't have crucified him. If people know who Jesus is, they're very, very different. This shows the importance of knowing the truth about Jesus Christ and loving him. If we know the truth, we will not do evil but good. Not perfect, but mostly. If we do not know the truth, we will be of the same side as those that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. We would have done the same if we were there, and likewise would commit and will continue to commit many other very serious, wicked and evil things and remain under God's righteous anger, all because of not knowing the Lord of glory. It changes everything when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. So we will consider Jesus is the Lord of glory. The Jesus, the Lord of glory, gives his glory to others, and the transformed lives that there are when this glory is received. And we touch really on these subjects, which we could go into much more. Jesus is the Lord of glory. What a wonderful name, isn't it? I think it's probably, can we say we've got favourite names of, and titles of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is this Lord of glory? Right. A Lord is a person that's in charge, obviously, a very senior and person with great authority. Of course, God gave dominion over all the fish and the animals to man. So man is, in a sense, a lord on the earth. Kings and queens are lords over whole nations. Fathers, in the right sense, are lords in their families. Ministers are not meant to lord it over the people of God, we're told. But Jesus is the Lord of glory. What glory? What is glory? Well, one of the things people like, I don't like, but some like it, is football. And the crowd cheering when they score that winning goal, it sounds pathetic to me, but they call it glory. And for many people, that is about the highest amount of glory that they can imagine. That goal of that cup final. And there is a huge crowd there sometimes, and millions of people watching on their television sets. And they get very, very... It sounds like if I was talking to people from another planet, they'd all be giggling like they did at the mashed potato advert years ago. That it was so silly that they kicked a round piece of what used to be made out of a bladder of a pig or something, but a football, leather football or plastic are they probably now, and they kick them in through a goal, and these men are running around who could be grown up and doing something useful with their lives, and they find it all so wonderful, and that is glory to them. Well, I shouldn't mock, should I? But a better illustration I find is that of the sun shining. When the sun shines, it's so bright, especially when it's come out of a grey day and it's been cloudy and wet and people say it's miserable. Some people, they're only actually happy when the sun shines, because it is so good, and when it's not there, it's so bad. But when the sun comes out, it's so bright, your eyes can't even look at it. If you look at the sun directly with your eyes, especially through binoculars or telescope, it'll blind you. Well-known facts. But it's so bright and glorious. But if you're a footballer or a person that likes sunbathing or the sunshine, that is something glorious to you. Now multiply that. We're going to double it, are we? Multiply it a million times. A million times more glorious. And then do it again. Another million times millions. And again. Millions more millions times. And again. And you'll still be a long way from knowing something of the astonishing glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The claim that Jesus is the Lord of glory. His glory is far more than these hints, these little tastes or shades of glory. He is a complete and full gloriousness, the glory of God. Jesus is the Lord. The Lord of the glory of God, we could say. Now, before you think I've gone off the rails, the summary of all Christian teaching, summed up by the most, when the church was, as it were, at its, the best it had been since Pentecost, since the Bible times, when God spoke in a most direct sense, was the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, and their motto was Soli Deo Gloria, which is Latin, but it means in English, glory to God alone. That summed up the whole teaching of the greatest understanding that there's been of the Bible. It's the highest point of things, the biggest summary. It accounts for our, particularly our praise, our thanks, our wonder. It's all that we have in God and from God is attributed to God alone, and all the glory is His. We're saved by grace, that it may be to the glory of God. This means if it were not for God and for Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, we would all be dead and suffering in hell. Yet today we can rejoice because of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. We have all sinned by not always doing what we should have done. We've all sinned by letting our minds run away after wrong things, by doing what we should not do, by not doing what we should do, by saying what we should not say. Yet for such people, on a hill far away, the King of Glory died. And his death was no ordinary death. Well, it wouldn't be, would it, if he was the King of Glory? In his death, the Bible says he swallowed up death in victory. The just for the unjust. He destroyed death to bring many sons to glory, to share in his glory. Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 speaks of the God of glory who appeared to Abraham. The God of glory has appeared, come to earth in Jesus Christ. Psalm 29 verse 3 says, the God of glory thundereth. The thundering shook the earth, split the veil of the temple, and split open the tombs when the Lord of glory was crucified just outside Jerusalem. When the gospel is preached, the glory of God thunders again, and lost sinners flee for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of God is unique. Well, I've said it's millions and millions and millions of times multiplied beyond the glory of anything we can think of. It says in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The glory of God, he will not give it to another. But it belongs to Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Everything about the Lord Jesus is glorious. It isn't that the Lord Jesus Christ has a glimmer of this glorious splendor. He is altogether glorious, altogether lovely. We're not talking about the glory of the Lord Jesus as if he had some aspects of glory, but rather he is the Lord of glory, the King of glory. Jesus is the Lord of glory because he is, as the Bible says, God manifest in the flesh. Jesus is the Lord of glory because he came from glory with the Father before the world was created, and he returned to it after his resurrection and ascension. So he prayed in John 17 and verse 5. He's prayed, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The coming of Christ and his resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven prove that Jesus is the Lord of glory. He came from the glory with the Father. He returned to the glory with the Father. He said he would go, and he did go. So we're very, very sure that Jesus really is the Lord of glory. But secondly, he gives his glory to others. It's amazing when God says, as we read in Isaiah, that he wouldn't give his glory to another, but it's in Jesus Christ. And if we're in Jesus Christ, we partake. He had power. He has power. Jesus Christ has power. Full divine power and authority. He had power to lay down his life and to take it up, he tells us. And he prays in John 17, verse 11, to the Father. He prays for those whom thou hast given me. There are people who will come to Christ that have been given by the Father for him. And he gives the benefits of his glory to them. Now this is beyond what we can really comprehend. John 17 verse 20 2 says, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 says that Jesus brings many people to glory. It says, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He did it through his sufferings, Christ, his perfect sufferings and salvation brought many, although it was him of whom are all things and by whom are all things, he bringing many sons unto glory. He did this by sending the Holy Ghost further, who it says in John 16 and verse 14, he shall glorify me, that's Jesus Christ, for he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. There's a revelation of Jesus Christ to those who have been given to him by the Father and through the Holy Ghost. And his, in doing this, Christ is glorified in his people. So he could say in John 17 and verse 10 of his people, I am glorified in them. Now, I'm sure you're thinking about yourself, well, I'm pretty well nothing. Well, this is rather glorious, isn't it? That God will dwell with man, that the Holy Spirit will dwell among us and in us. But have you beheld him? If we are very doubting of this wonder, maybe we haven't really beheld the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't really looked to him to save us. That is really when his glory is revealed to us and even in us. As we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're brought right to him. And we're joined to him in the body, which is the body of Christ. There were those who were privileged to see Christ transfigured. His glory was shown to them. I don't know how they could have seen it still, but it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. But by faith in his death, we see his glory. Like those in 1 Corinthians here, it says in verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There's something about the power and the glory. They're very similar things, the power and the glory. Say, it is the power of God that comes when we believe in the cross of Christ. That he died for me to save me from the wrath of God for all my sins deserve. But to actually believe that when it comes is the power of God. The gospel doesn't just come in words. It comes truly from the Spirit of God, as Paul writes to the Thessalonians. It doesn't just come in word, but in power. This is the glory of God coming right to us, and God giving us his glory. Now life must be transformed by such a glory of God coming to an individual. If you're saved, you've been changed. Now we still have indwelling sin in us, and it's the worst thing that a Christian has to, as it were, put up with and battle with, indwelling sin. But the Christian is changed. He is no longer one who would crucify the Lord of glory. He'd say, God forbid, heaven forbid. He'd say, well, we can't go back in time. We would have probably been in the same state as all these other folk were who cried out, crucify him. But of course, we know he had to be crucified for us. But if we wouldn't have been those, would we, who would have crucified? If they'd have known, they wouldn't have crucified him. So there's a, in God's providence and in his whole purpose, even the evil things are worked together for good in the end. And we can be sure of that through the whole of our lives. But the Christian is nevertheless transformed. He's not now those that don't know, but he's one of those that do know. And he sees Jesus Christ as the Lord of glory. A Christian then is given something of the glory of God. Only partially as yet. In 2 Corinthians and verse 3, chapter 3, second verse 18, it says, but we all, with open face, beholding particularly the Lord Jesus Christ, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, or the Lord of glory, the glory of the Lord. We spoke some time about the many ways that the word of can be understood. It's two things that are very close to each other, but expressed in slightly different senses sometimes. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. A person is in Christ, has the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God causes us to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a glory, and there's more glory, from glory to glory. It was a most glorious thing to have the eyes opened, the heart opened, to behold Jesus Christ the Saviour. But we are still being changed, and there's still a day to come. Jesus Christ has promised to come again. It's the most important doctrine. When the change to glory will be full and perfect, he's promised to come from glory and bring many sons to glory. John 14 and verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Indeed, he's promised to come in his glory. In Matthew chapter 25, with the angels, verse 31, sitting upon the throne of his glory. From there he would divide all the people of the world, as a shepherd would divide the sheep and the goats from a flock. They have them together in, they still do keep them together in some countries, the sheep and goats all mixed up. But then he comes, he divides them into the righteous, to life eternal, but the others into everlasting punishment. The righteous, those who've come to Jesus Christ, who've been changed. Not that we have our own righteousness, nothing that we can say about ourselves, and not that we can look like we're ever ready for heaven, but that Christ is our Saviour and our righteousness. That's the way that we can be righteous with God. Of course, there will be signs, some signs, but when you look at yourself, you'll always say, well, there's not much sign and much good in me. But there will be. There will be truly signs that a person has trusted in Christ. It's as I say, you think it's pretty pathetic. It is pretty pathetic when we hold it up to the glory of God and to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So Christians have to wait patiently for the full glorious change when the Lord of glory returns. As Paul writes to the Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When Christ shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So the our verse showed that people would have been so different if they'd known this truth. They wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. So the Christian to whom the Lord of glory is revealed has been changed. And when the Lord returns, he will be fully changed when we see him and appear with him in glory. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21 says, for our conversation, our way, our behavior, our whole way of thinking, everything, where we are going and everything, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. We don't all look too vile, but this is what it's like in comparison to the glory to come. He shall change our vile body, that it shall may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. When Christ returns, everything will be subdued. There'll be this dividing of the sheep and the goats, and he'll be absolutely the Lord that comes in, on his throne of glory to judge and divide. And yet the poor, vile Christian, well, we're not vile Christians, we have a taste of glory already, don't we? We have a great, as we look to Christ, we have a great sight of his glory. Yet our vile body may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. This is the end. The end is glorious. Depending on your view of when and where you think everything will happen, it says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Some people believe that that will happen. To some extent, it happens as the gospel spreads all around the world. But it's fully complete in the new heavens and earth. But I don't want to debate on that in the middle here. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, came from glory. He brought his glory, a taste of glory. He gave his glory to people. He returned to glory and will bring all his people to glory fully. Just one question remains. Have you received him? That passage in 1 Corinthians that we read should humble any of us, all of us. The end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We should glorify God. If the inanimate heavens declare the glory of God, as Psalm 19 says, how much more should Christians, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, give unto the Lord glory and strength? Psalm 29, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 4 expresses it like this in verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. And then it continues. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. There's something of the glory of God in being shown in the believer. But being reproached for the name of Christ? Well, there you are. There's the Spirit of glory and of God resting upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Let us turn to the metrical psalms and sing Psalm 24, verse 7 to 8. It's on page 44 in the metrical version of the Psalms. And just before, if you found the page, I'll just pray beforehand. We'll just pray. I've given you the slightly wrong order. We'll just pray first. Father in heaven, Father God of glory, oh, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory himself. And Lord, that he must be the divine Son of God, as thou hast said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, when thou did speak from the excellent glory. And this is the Lord of glory, who has brought through his death and his ascension and his coming again many sons to glory. Lord, we do marvel and wonder that sinners may be partakers of thy glory and be brought to thee, to everlasting life. Lord, we thank thee that this work has already begun in thy people, because they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have despaired of their own righteousness and trusted in his righteousness. And he's washed our sins in his blood. Lord, we read that if the princes of the world have known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. May it be, Lord, that thy people will know thee, will know thy grace, and will know thy glory, and will so be changed as we look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we wait patiently for his coming again in glory to bring us to his eternal and full and most glorious glory of all. Lord, have mercy upon us. Strengthen thy people, that we may be strong in the Lord, that we may glorify thee. Help us now, Lord, to sing to thy glory in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.